Welcome to Healthcare Rounds. I'm your host, John Marchica, CEO of Darwin Research Group and faculty associate at the Arizona State University College of Health Solutions. Here we explore the vast and rapidly evolving healthcare ecosystem with leaders across the spectrum of healthcare delivery. Our goal is to promote ideas that advance the quadruple aim, including improving the patient experience, improving the health of populations, lowering the cost of care, and attaining joy in work. Please send your questions, comments, or ideas for Healthcare Rounds to podcast@darwinresearch.com. And if you like what you hear, please don't forget to rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get started.
Dr. Summer Knight, a former firefighter, paramedic turned primary care and emergency room doctor, is a managing director in Deloitte Consulting's life science and healthcare practice. She is a passionate advocate for humanizing healthcare, an innovative leader in digital and virtual health, and a pragmatic futurist who helps clients act upon today's rapid changes in healthcare. Dr. Knight maintains an active physician license, is board certified in family medicine, and was chief of staff of a four-hospital healthcare system and emergency and urgent care department chair. She is an accomplished leader, having held key executive positions in F100 plan, digital health, provider, government, and private equity. She also has academic credentials, having been an adjunct professor and executive in residence for healthcare at the Fox School of Business at Temple University. Her perspective on healthcare is informed not only by her professional experience, but also by her role as a patient and sandwich generation caregiver.
So today, it's a real treat. We've got Dr. Summer Knight with us, who has a new book. We're going to be talking about that. It's called Humanizing Healthcare. It's excellent. I've actually gotten about halfway through it, not completely done with it, but it's very readable. Excellent book. So welcome, Summer. Thank you for appearing on Healthcare Rounds.
Thanks, John. Thanks for inviting me. It's a big honor.
I've been looking forward to today. I know we talked, I think it was must have been maybe a month and a half ago, and I've been looking forward to this conversation. So before we get into the book, I have to say you have one of the most interesting, diverse backgrounds of anybody who's been on this podcast. And I'm just wondering at what point did you decide, because you started off in looked like community medicine and also in leadership, but then had a little stint in public health. And then it looked like you moved to the business side of healthcare. So including some entrepreneurship in there. So what encouraged that change in your background?
Well, So, some people open that remark up, John, with saying, could you not keep a job?
I doubt that.
but, you know, I actually had, as you mentioned, practiced medicine and started out my career as a firefighter paramedic and was really happy practicing medicine, but realized that doctors such as myself weren't making decisions in the business of medicine. And so actually purposefully decided to go get my MBA in order to actually just be at the table, like understand how to read those spreadsheets, understand what all the business folks were doing, because I felt that it was important to have a clinical voice and also a patient voice. I'm a patient who's had a chronic and complex condition, a sandwich generation caregiver. So being able to have that voice at the table too with some business acumen was important in order to really think through, how and where do we need change healthcare? How do we activate consumers? What kind of framework do we need to follow to make very tangible changes to the value that we bring to the healthcare ecosystem?
So, sidebar question, because I did an MBA a long time ago. How much value did you get from that MBA? And the only reason why I say I phrased it that way is, I mean, I went to one of the top programs in the country, and I found that really just doing the business, whether it was working in corporate or my own companies, that yes, it was nice to have some of that framework and that background material. And I think maybe taught me a different kind of mindset on how to think. But all of the details of that MBA, I mean, I think it's like the school of hard knocks. You know, you really learn about the business when you're working on the business, if that makes sense. But I don't know what your experience was. That was mine.
It makes sense. And I jokingly say that, you know, I got my MBA certificate and then I got my real MBA in the first business that that I built. That being said, it, you know, having for me trained specifically in life sciences and healthcare, I had a very different jargon and a very different language. And going right. to business school taught me the language and taught me all the different parts of a business. And it at least gave me the framework and the basics of which to build off of so that I could be in the conversation. And, you know, I think it helped from a communication perspective. It helped from understanding, like, I think a lot of times, you know, docs aren't just thinking about supply chain, you know, or right. spreadsheets and things like that. So I found it to be extremely helpful. The other piece is I did an executive MBA program. So I was with a very interesting, diverse group of people. On my team was an astronaut, an architect, an aeronautics engineer. So it was head of marketing. So it was, I would say just the people also were a huge part of that education. So I'm glad I did it and I got a ton out of it.
good. Well, that's also too, if you're, you know, coming at it from a clinician perspective, and as you said, trained in the life sciences, having that degree, it offers some legitimacy to why you could be at the table, to your point, or why you should be at the table, that you can speak their language, that it's not, you're not just coming out as a clinician, but also as someone who understands the business.
And I believe that that medical education, like that, we're trying to make some impacts into the business acumen of new graduates. But at the time, there just was none of that happening in medical school. It was just strictly, the sciences and patient care and that important work, but not about, you know, how do you manage your business? How do you interact with a health plan? Things like that.
Yeah. Do you think that they're getting, or is, I don't know if you're even tracking this, but are medical schools starting to offer, you know, more of that kind of real world understanding, practice management, understanding health policy, or is that still not part of any of the curriculum?
I would say I'm not tracking it as deeply as many of my other colleagues. I have a great friend who actually runs an entire healthcare system that has a medical school in it. And what I really appreciated about our friendship and partnership is that is the fact that he's really been thoughtful about the EQ of the medical students coming in. Mm-hmm. So the emotional quotient as opposed to just the IQ. And I think as we're seeing, and I talk about this in the book, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning and data interoperability and being able to help with clinical pathways and next best decision, I think we're going to see more partnership in the kind of clinician machine activity together. And so I hope that means that it gives more space to clinicians who are, you know, well-rounded and really are able to connect with people. I think a foundation of what I talk about in humanizing healthcare is around creating a therapeutic alliance. And the basis of that alliance is built in trust. It's longitudinally nurtured. It's to focus on individuals attaining healthfulness, even if they have a chronic or complex condition, you know, maximizing their ability to attain healthfulness. and to include their natural support network of family, friends, and volunteers. And that takes an individual who feels confident in their ability to connect with individuals. And that includes for trust, some level of emotional connection. So I do hope that we're really teaching others those softer skill sets, because I think those softer skill sets are the gold that we have to offer in clinical care.
Yeah, I had a physician on, an emergency medicine physician who has a whole business on teaching doctors how to have difficult conversations, mm-hmm. and, you know, how to, actually, I'm getting too mixed up. I think I'm getting him mixed up with another physician who is a neonatologist. So that was his thing. And just wonder, you know, how much can you teach that emotional intelligence or the EQ stuff? I think it can be learned. I think when you can point out when people are being obtuse or, you know, not being difficult or those things that I'm hoping too, that they're teaching the softer skills because they're very, very important.
Well, John, I think, you know, so many people are called to be clinicians, and they have many different backgrounds, personalities, experiences. And we don't, you know, we don't know it all. None of us do. Right. So being able to give clinicians frameworks on, for example, how do people with different personalities react to different situations? When people don't have enough information, you know, they tend to react differently than if they have a full set of information and feel like they trust that.
Right.
And then how do you manage? We don't all inherently know what to say. I remember when, I'll give you an example. When I lost my son, Nicholas, people didn't know how to react to us. And so I remember actually writing kind of like, here's some things that will help you to interact with me. Not sure if it's translatable to other grieving parents, but this will be really helpful in our relationship. And you know, in so many people told me that they were so grateful that I gave them some rules of the road. And these are all very intelligent people who have been on the journey with us and just didn't know how to frame that. And I don't think that doctors naturally know how to frame certain conversations, especially if they haven't had to live through it.
Well, there are a couple of times in your first chapter that I admit I choked up when I was reading it, and especially the part where you said, where you wrote about his death and then followed that up with something to the effect of, I just wrote that just now, like, or I was interviewed by my editor in order to get this section, this paragraph. And I'm sure that we'll get to that when I ask you the question, which was my first real question about the book is, what was your inspiration for writing it? Now, I know some of this answer because I've been getting through the book, but what encouraged you to put this very personal yet business book on healthcare together?
Well, for the business side of the book, it's because I'm passionate about transforming healthcare. We don't have it nailed. And there's lots. I think everyone would agree, whether you're working in healthcare or whether you're a customer of healthcare, that there is so much that we can do to improve it. And it's such a great industry because we truly are touching the most personal parts of our lives, right?
Sure.
You know, your health. And if people don't feel good, how can they? How can they be their best selves? And so it's such an intimate space, yet we have completely reduced that intimacy. And and there's so many reasons for that to happen. And so what the reason for humanizing healthcare was to really talk about, that it's time that we make a change, that we have that there's a lot of efforts that have been occurring, but that those efforts aren't quite enough. And I talk about that in the 3+1 drivers of healthcare change, and then the seven healthcare trends that are going forward from that. But it just isn't enough to truly humanize healthcare, and that to do that, we need to actually start to put some definition on that. And so that's where I kind of leaned out and created this idea about therapeutic alliances and natural support networks, and in this space of trust, and then said, well, hey, let's be honest. It's very hard to do this in a situation where we have so much need, and let's just talk about the US, right? So much need in the US healthcare system, and not enough supply, right? And not enough docs to go around to everybody. And when I say docs, I mean clinicians.
Right.
There's just not enough to go around. And so everyone is not getting a personal touch. And then on top of that, I'm suggesting therapeutic alliances. And so many people are like, I don't have time. But what we go into is that done appropriately and built as the client at the top of the pyramid that we're all serving, then we can build these digital care activation platforms, which are digital infrastructure that really meets their communication needs, their care needs, their ability to pull their family and friends into as they feel appropriate, and really leverage a new type of care delivery model. And so that's the scale. So there's the what, which is the therapeutic alliance. The scale happens on this digital platform. And then the other piece that happens is that we're no longer living in a space of clinician-centered, location-based care. We're actually right. Become consumer-centered care, and we follow them around. And yes, we can't just do everything virtually, but we can do so much virtually and using different virtual use cases. So that was the business reason to create that, and it impacts total cost of care and satisfaction and quality. And then yes, you mentioned about my personal story. I actually noted, I think there is 6 different vignettes of different individuals in the book. And one of those is of course my son's story and our journey. And I had, when I was writing this book, I'd gotten started in 2016, and I rushed him to hospital the first week of December of 2016. So I was in the process of writing this book. And at the same time, he and I started to document his journey. And our thoughts was he's a family man. And although he was 13, he had already told me, he had planned to get married and he'd planned to adopt other kids like I had. And he was very excited about the future. So we decided that we would, document his journey so that his future spouse would be able to, have an experience and understand this. Plus, it was also actually simple for us to do because I had built out the digital care activation platform and had used it in with different businesses and different healthcare systems. And so on our V3, we were the first family to use it and got to invite 2 other healthcare systems to use it and over 100 of our natural support network. And so all of that was getting documented in real time. So we had pulled that off, and during the publishing process, the publisher is able to see works in progress. And so she had read some of the excerpts and felt that that was really important for us to infuse. And I fought back on that.
I can understand that. Of course.
It was a personal piece of works, but I think in retrospect, I think it's been a really positive impact for people to see that not just am I pushing a business piece, but I lived what I'm promoting. And I think also us as leaders being able to share, our hearts and what's happened. And I cried is that we did the edits on those pages. There's a lot of tears that streaked through that manuscript.
I'm sure. Well, I'm an N of one, but I can tell you that I thought it was an important and congruous, I guess if that's the right word, part of all the other information. And it was important to personalize that. Whatever happened, is fascinated by the communications platform that you had, I believe, had started, or at least you were you had led. What happened to that? And are there similar kinds of, I'm going to muddle this, it's not patient journey software, but are there similar types of things available today where all the different elements of the system, whether it be doctors or nurses or your family members, are there similar technologies available? And the reason why I asked that, one of the senses that I got, you mentioned the word communication. I had a question written down about it. Poor communication or issues with communication seems to be a theme that at least up to where I am right now, they're running through the book. So I'm curious as to where we are today with that technology.
So the platform that our experience happened on, as you mentioned, was in the V3. So we had the first version had actually been built as a solution that employers were offering to their employee caregivers to help them to be able to better function and navigate. So to pull in other family members into care, because otherwise primary caregivers really get the brunt. And what happens is they don't take care of themselves because they're so overwhelmed taking care of their loved one. And in the end, they actually oftentimes can defer care or can have worsening of their own health. And of course, for the employer, absenteeism and presenteeism issues. So that was our first version. And we iterated from there. And I created my own business that built that last third version. And it was very successful. Since then, as you mentioned, different organizations are starting to come together and think through how can we communicate better? How can we create systems where provider and plan and the healthcare consumer can work together? I haven't yet seen a system similar to what we had built, but what's exciting is that now that I'm talking about it, I'm having a number of different organizations ask for help to build their own. Mm-hmm. And what's been fun about it is that now with the, Nicholas, my son passed away about 4 years ago. And so there has been a gap where all these great startups have gotten into the space for digital health, as well as disruptors who were focused on other areas of technology have now focused their energy in healthcare. So the beauty of it is really being able to put together platforms that use kind of best in class from all these different partners and create something very interesting. And so I'm doing that with a few different organizations and have recently been asked to kind of like solidify that a little bit. So
that's exciting.
I'm very excited about the outcomes of that.
Yeah, that's exciting. So we only have a few minutes left, and I don't want to give away all of the great stuff in the book. And you mentioned the 3+1, but just if you could sort of synthesize, I mean, we know, in fact, on this podcast, we talk a lot about the problems in healthcare. So we don't need to go through all of those, but I'm wondering, what is humanizing healthcare? What is that new face that you can put on the process of experiencing healthcare, of delivering healthcare? What's a key takeaway that I can focus on and that might encourage people to want to go out and get your book?
Yeah, so I will do a little plug for the book. It is a prelude to that, which
Please.
Is that that all royalties paid for that for the book. So everyone who buys it goes to a non-for-profit called One Humankind. And the and right. the focus is to address health inequities. So get the book and get the book for friends. Number two, since you like it so much, John, please go to Amazon and give a positive review.
Oh, I love that. Forgot to do that. I will do that. Yes. I did buy it. This did not come from the publisher. So
thank you. And then so what are some of the key takeaways is what I'm hearing from you. So number one is the activated consumer. You know, we hear a lot in healthcare about, hey, we need to engage people. I actually take a step forward and very bullish in the book to talk about that. We need to activate people, and in there give some perspectives on the way we look at different archetypes of individuals. And in the archetypes I chose is like, how activated can we get people? And there's some people who are like, they're dying to be activated on their, well, that's not a good choice of words.
No, I get it.
Healthcare. But they can't wait to be activated because they're like, they have their devices that they've purchased and they're very health conscious. So I call those the activated consumers. And also that the healthcare industry is not prepared for the activated consumer. They're not prepared to take in the information. We're not prepared to always have the information available or to share information. So the industry has to work hard to be prepared and support the activated consumer. That's the number one thing I'm working on right now. And then getting people through that gradation, right? So so there's engaged consumers and moving those forward. There's encourageable consumers. So those are people who might have just recently been diagnosed with a chronic condition like a diabetes and said, oops, I haven't been taking care of myself. So they're more encourageable to get involved and become more activated on their health. And then unfortunately, what do we do for those who are unengaged or even defeated or even terrified? We saw a lot of terrified consumers of healthcare during COVID.
Sure.
So how do we move people up that gradation with a goal of optimizing health? That's one of the big themes that we talk about. And then another is really the framework. And we talked about the business school just a few minutes ago, but there's a real framework that organizations can take on to humanize healthcare. And part of that is creating their own definition of what humanizing healthcare is. I share a definition in the book. And then how can their organization participate in humanizing healthcare? What's that special activity that they can do? And we break that framework up into three areas. One is trips, and that goes back to that therapeutic alliance. So where do you mm-hmm. play in creating that mutual sense of caring towards health optimization and trust? The second piece is organizationally. So how do you infuse humanizing healthcare into your strategy, the way you invest, in your metrics, and your culture? And then third is the macro. How do if you're intent to humanize healthcare, you have to work externally to your organization. So how do you effectively partner with other organizations, do different things that are important from humanizing healthcare, such as addressing health inequities, guaranteeing clinical teams time for empathy, ensuring that health information follows the person, which we really have a gap in. Right. And really having agreeing with radical interoperability and unbundling verticals that get in the way of funding being able to follow the individual. So those are some of the key things that I've been indexing on around the humanizing healthcare revolution.
Well, Dr. Summer Knight, Summer, it has been a pleasure getting to know you. And through our previous conversation and through this, I would love to follow up with you in another, say, 4 to 6 months. And just to see, because I think this book is really going to make a difference. I think that while your average consumer might, like if they're really interested in healthcare, that they would get it. But I see leaders in healthcare really what's the word that I want to use? They will appreciate the succinct upfront, this is where the problems are, but then here's a framework for moving forward. And I don't know anybody that's going to disagree with you. So I'd love to follow up, have another conversation in 3 to 6 months, and just to see how things went.
Thank you. That would be my pleasure, and would love to share with your audience as well. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, would love to connect. Thanks, John, for having me on your show.
Sure. Thanks for being here. Last question. If they want to get in touch with you, what's the best? Is there a URL that they can go to?
Well, they can reach out through social media. So we've got, you know, humanizing.healthcare as a website. And then there's ways to connect through that. And also through social media at Dr. Summer Knight. And quite frankly, anyone can send me a note as well. And so there's a couple of ways to do that. Besides smoke signals. So people can send a note out to, DSK, that's my initials, at onehumankind.org.
Excellent. Summer, thanks again for taking the time to be here. Really appreciate your spending time with us.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the afternoon.
From all of us at Darwin Research Group, thanks for listening. Healthcare Rounds is produced and engineered by me, Kim Ishudo. Theme music by John Marchica. Darwin Research Group provides advanced market intelligence and in-depth customer insights to healthcare executives. Our strategic focus is on healthcare delivery systems and the global shift toward value-based care. Find us at darwinresearch.com. See you next round.